Good morning. I want to welcome everyone here to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this beautiful day to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A few announcements. You can take your red pad, sign it, pass it down with your name, address. If anything's changed, you can fill out an I Wish card and drop it in the offering plate. Make sure we get those changes. I want to thank Heather Perman and B.J. Morrison and Paul and his two helpers from Camp Crestville, and also Mary Margaret, a friend of Heather's, for our wonderful VBS program this year. It was small this year, but it was a kind of a different kind of program, and it was just really nice, so thank them for their help. Some of you may already know, but Bill Lowe, who's been our custodian for a while, his father has cancer, and he's taking care of his father, so he has resigned as custodian. And I sent him a card that was in our address book. That is his house address, but a year ago he changed it to a post office box. So if anybody wants to send him a card or anything, the office and I have that new address. We're getting new hymnals, and you can, if you'd like, you can purchase one for $30 per book, and you can in honor, memoriam, and celebration of. And one of the songs we're singing this morning, we've already got the PowerPoint part of it. It'll be on the screen in just a little while. I want to thank the deacons. They made a nice contribution towards the hymnals so we can get all that we need. And thank you, deacons, very, very much for being willing to do that. Shout for a cause. Yeah. You are appreciated, believe me. A shop for a cause, Friday, August 26th through Sunday, August 28th. Tickets are $5. You can see B.J. Morrison. I don't think B.J.'s here today, but if you need him, we will make sure you get him. And this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn this morning is a screen song, We Exalt Thee. And I want you to know, I forgot to say this, the screen is showing up very beautifully on my computer, but you cannot really see the background this morning, but it's silhouettes of Mary and Martha, and one of them's holding a jar. So just pretend like you see it up there. Thank you. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear God, we thank you for your eternal love. Forgive us when we fail to put you first in our lives. Remind us that Christianity is about confessing that Jesus is Lord. Help us find the time to sit at the feet of Jesus each day. Teach us how to tell others the good news of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes with personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us unite in our faith with our Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment to greet one another. And you don't know someone's name, be sure to ask. This green song is one from our new coming hymnal, Glory to God, and it's listed on 324 in the new hymnal. So just want to make sure you understood that. For all the faithful women. Responsive reading, Psalm 32, in the back of your hymnal, 698. 698, Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit.
When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as a leaping summer.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin.
Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him.
Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, your righteousness and all your glory.
There were not any prayer cards turned in this morning, but as we pray, I want us to be sure to remember France, all those who lost their lives, their families, all those who are hurt seriously, some may still die, and just for the end of terrorism in our world. And as we pray, I'll lead you, of course, into the Lord's Prayer. Let us bow. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning through the name of Jesus, who we proclaim to be our Lord and our Savior, and we thank you for that. We thank you for all the good things that happen in our lives, for allowing us to be a part of the family of God. And as we go through this life, we need to make sure that we have taken the time to accept you into our lives, to sit at your feet and listen and hear your word, to know your commandments, also to work for your church, for the kingdom of God, to reach out to everyone with love and respect and dignity and compassion. So this morning we pray for one another. We all have things in our lives that we need prayer for. So we join together, asking you to touch us, our family, our friends, our entire world. And we are just heartbroken over what happened in France, and not just France, but other places around the world. But just so much evil. We pray that love can win out over hate in all areas, and that we come as a nation, as a world, to really realize that all lives matter, and we don't need to be killing and harming and maiming one another. Thank you for the wonderful messages that you left us, your wonderful teachings, and we thank you for this beautiful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, Peace Like a River, on 498 in your red hymnals.
Peace like a river.
offer a prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ. We thank you that death and the grave could not contain him, hold him back. And on the third day, he arose from the grave, and he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of power with you. And we believe he will come again one day. But in the meantime, he has sent his Holy Spirit to empower his church that we may proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and what that means for us, for our families, for the entire world. As Pastor Glenn Shaw Valley, I thank you for everyone who gives of their time, their energies, their monies, of who they are as your children to touch others' lives. May it always be this way. In the precious name of Jesus, who is our Lord, our Savior, and even our friend. Amen.
I'm sorry, I was sitting there thinking and not paying attention. This morning I came in and they had the friendship. And my grandson came up to me and he says, "Oh, are you coming back to church now, Grandma?" The scripture I'm going to read today is, we have choices to make. And do we need to make the right choice? And in this reading, Mary made the right choice. And my grandson was right. Was I making right choices? So, Sean, yeah, Grandma's coming back. Okay? The scripture reading today is Luke 10, 38, 42. "Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home." And we all know we're talking about Jesus. "She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by many tasks. So she came to him and asked, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, are you worried and distracted by many things? There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her.'" And thank you, Sean. So is the reading of the word.
Thank you very much, Sean.
Thank you, Penny, for reading.
You know, we always like fairy tales, so I've got one this morning for you. Many years ago, there lived a king who had a very beautiful daughter. This princess had many offers of marriage, but she just could not make up her mind which suitor she should take as her husband. She was a very romantic girl, and she wanted a man who would love her more than anything else, all the treasures, even his own self, to care so much for her. And finally, she came up with this plan and devised it in her mind to test the love of the suitors. An announcement was made and sent throughout the kingdom that there would be a foot race. The winner of the race would be able to marry the princess. The race was open to every man in the kingdom, rich and poor alike. It didn't matter. All that was required was that the man would love the princess more than anything else in this world. On the chosen day, the men lined up to run this race. And each man was told that the princess waited at the finish line, and whoever crossed the finish line first would be her husband. Just as the race was about to begin, the king made an announcement. He says, "I have had my servants put treasures out along the racetrack. There's gold and silver. There's all kind of different objects, all kind of different treasures, necklaces and pendants and jewel-encrusted cups and gold knives and swords." So each runner was welcome to take as many items as they wanted to. So the race began. One by one, the racers, paupers, and princes alike started down that track. But they would see the treasures on each side of the track, and they would begin to pick them up. And then they would drop out of the race. All except one. He pressed on in the race, knowing that he didn't care about these treasures that would make him a rich man. He cared about one thing, He kept his eye on the prize. He loved the princess and wanted to win the race so he could marry the princess. Jesus was visiting the home of two sisters. Martha hurried about and doing all the household preparations necessary to make guests feel welcome. And that's not a bad thing to do. We all want to clean up our house and have the proper foods when someone is coming over. At the same time, though, Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had to say. And Martha finally, you know how two sisters can be sometimes, got fed up. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Do you tell her to come help me now? Those of you who are committed homemakers can appreciate her irritation. Surely the master would take Martha's side and have Mary get up and help her prepare the meal and get everything just right. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are worried about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Mary had only done one thing. She sat at the feet of Jesus. But the one thing was enough to draw Jesus' praise towards her. It's a priceless story, I think, with a very important message. You can't work your way into the kingdom of God. You can only receive it, and we have to get our priorities right. We let side things take our time away when our first devotion, our first love, should be our God. Reverend John Gable tells about Al and Betty Johnson, who live on a farm about 200 miles northeast of Rapid City, South Dakota. Now, this is a small city. There's not a whole lot going on, and there's not like a Walmart or a Kmart on every corner, or even a grocery store. So whenever the Johnsons have reason to go in the city, they keep a list, and when they go in the city, they will take that list and get the provisions that they need. Now, Betty's mother was flying in one day for a visit, and Al made a list and got the list and of all the things that he and the household needed, and he would do this on the way to the airport to pick up his mother-in-law. When he finally got home late that evening, he was so pleased to tell his wife, Betty, about all the wonderful things that he had done. He'd gotten new tires put on the truck and found everything that she wanted at the mall. He had even purchased her a new dress and could not wait to show her this beautiful dress. He was so proud of himself. And finally, Betty interrupted her husband, Al, and said, Al, where's Mom? Never went to the airport to get her. The one thing that was really needed. He got sidetracked with everything else. He had forgotten the only real purpose he had for going into town in the first place. Not that the things he did were bad. Purchasing things that they needed. But he didn't pick up the mother-in-law. Martha was hurrying about doing things to prepare that were so important that everyone is having guests in their homes. And we know that Jesus appreciated her efforts, what she was doing. And Mary and Martha became two of Jesus' closest friends. And it was a kindness that Jesus gently scolded Martha. I suspect he did it with a smile on his face and a loving rebuke. Not that he didn't appreciate, because I think he did appreciate what she was doing. But he said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but there's only one thing that is needed. And Mary has chosen what is better. I wonder which bothered Martha more, to hear Jesus scold her or to hear him praise her sister Mary. Only one thing is needed, and that is what Jesus said to Martha. Only one thing. A young man comes out of seminary, was called a first pastor in a small farming town. Having to preach every Sunday was quite a challenge for him. And he was more accustomed to the world of academia, to study and to hear the professors lecture, not the world of a small country church. Each Sunday, he preached sermons that were little more than lengthy quotations taken directly from his seminary classroom notes, dry academic stuff. The congregation used to having ministers fresh out of seminary, so they were not surprised by this. I think they probably took a good feeling about themselves to help train ministers. In fact, over the years, they had become quite patient and become quite tolerant. They understood themselves as a congregation gifted with the task of training young ministers in the reality of the church. And I know the first church I pastored as a student up in Grayville, Illinois, driving that 300-mile round trip, that's what they did. They hired students from the seminary to help train them. Months went by at this congregation waiting for a young man to work his way into the role of a pastor and teacher. Then one Sunday, the elder who prepared the sanctuary for the service left a note on the pulpit, which sometimes happens for me. On a small piece of paper, he wrote a Bible reference, John 12:21. Well, the young minister arrived not long afterward and went to the sanctuary to prepare and for the service. He saw the note on the pulpit, which just read John 12:21. There was no anything else. Very curious thing, he thought, to find in the pulpit. He thought, so he quickly thumbed through his Bible, looked up the passage, and the passage said, "We wish to see Jesus." Christ is the only thing that we really need. Mary understood that. Christianity is not about doing good, though that is a major witness of our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, because he did good and he told us to do good things and to love one another. And Christianity is not about looking at the commandments, okay, I've got this one checked, this one checked, this one checked, even though the best Christians are doing their best to keep the commandments, especially the one about love. Christianity is at heart and soul the recognition that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all life, of all life. He is our Master and Savior. And the Bible asks, or we ask, what do we need to be saved? And the answer is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes in Colossians 1, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn above all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things were created by him and for him. Several years ago, Dr. John Claypool, a famous preacher, preached a series of sermons related to the illness and the death of his young daughter. In one of the sermons, he tells of receiving a Christmas book by J.B. Phillips called When God Was a Man. The book was written in the 1950s. John Claypool was reading the book and happened to leave it open on his desk beside his chair where he liked to read. And he and his wife went out for the evening, and a lady in the community came by to babysit while they went out. Well, when he came home that night, Claypool said that he could tell as soon as he entered the house that the babysitter was just very excited. She picked up this book and began to wave it around and asked, "Is this true? When did this happen? What was he like?" Claypool said that he was taken aback because he knew this person. This was a member of his church. She even sang in the choir. He was surprised that a title, When God Was Man, could have come as such an absolute shock to her. But as they began to talk, he discovered that of all the times that she's been attending church all these years and all of her church activity, somehow that message had gone past her. And she never really thought about it, that God came into our world as a human being. The one who had always inhabited the heavens chose to come and live as a human being upon this earth. That's such a wonderful thing. And as they talked about this event, she asked all kinds of questions as to what it meant. And they talked late into the night, and the lady just stayed so excited, coming to grips with the awesome reality that God had become a human being and come into this world as he gave his life. And I ask you this morning, I ask all of us, have we really come to grips with that? Do we really understand that God came into our lives in the form of a human being and walked this earth just as we walk this earth, with the same things that confront us confronted the Lord Jesus? I know that you are responsible, hardworking people, law-abiding people, and I'm thankful for you. But I ask you this morning, do you still have an emptiness within you that has not been filled, even coming to church? Do you sometimes feel that you've lived your life in vain, and do you hunger for something more in this lifetime? Maybe it has something to do with your understanding of Christ. Many people, even those who go to church, will say, well, I believe Jesus was a good man. He was a prophet. He gave us many wonderful things to do. But God, I don't know that I can agree with that. And they're church people, but they've never got it. Jesus is the very source of our lives. He is the promise of the new life in the Spirit. So have you found that one thing that is needed, that one thing that will transform you and give you a peace that passes all understanding, that you can feel good about your relationship with God, that you can believe deep down in your heart that you have the promise of eternal life and that when you die, you will go to be with God? I hope that you do. So take a cue from Mary. Even though the things that Martha was doing were wonderful and needed to be done, but first things first. One thing is needed: to believe in Jesus, to sit at his feet and let him teach you and love you and caress you. Sit at the feet of Jesus. May God bless you. Amen. Our hymn of response, I Love You, Lord, number 80.
God bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.